Man, we will be meeting together. That's a Saturday morning at 8 o'clock, and we're going to have breakfast prepared by a professional chef. No pressure, Jerry. He's down the hall, so he doesn't know I'm talking about him. But Jerry and some other men will be volunteering to come early to the kitchen that morning and to cook for us. And so please mark your calendar for that day, March the 4th. And we'll be done 9 o'clock-ish or so, so you'll still have plenty of time to get home and get to that list of things that your wife has for you to do. And don't worry. Ladies, push them out the door. Have them join us. They'll come home in a better mood, and you won't have to feed them. And you'll get an hour or two of peace and quiet. So that'll be a good day. Then on the 11th, Rob and Candace Millwood are putting together a fellowship lunch for the widows of the church. That's a part of our church family. We want to make sure that we're serving and remembering well. And so if that pertains to you, there's a sign-up sheet in the back that you can take care of and sign up for that day. I see the Lejeunes have just snuck in, and as well as the Lejeunes can sneak in, we're so glad that you're here. Kyle is now a resident again of the Carolinas, from what I understand, and we thank the Lord for that. And another BBNer, is that right? Oh, the stories we can tell. Okay, good. We'll compare notes one day to the BBN today and the BBN that I knew, because it's been a little while, but we're glad that you're here. Patty Hansen's daughter, Sherry, is here today. We're glad that she's here. And if you're here for the first time, or maybe the first time in a long time, if you would please do us the courtesy of filling out that little Connect card that's sitting in the pew right in front of you, drop it in the offering plate on the way out. We'd like to have a record of your visit and know who you are. I met Michael and Margie this morning, who I've not met before, and we're glad that they're here. And if you're here for the first time and we haven't greeted you appropriately, just flag us down. Grab one of us by the tie and say, hey, you didn't notice me. We want to make sure that we shake your hand. Thank you.
If you would, take your hymnals this morning and turn with me to page 549. Page 549, we'll sing Like a River Glorious. We'll sing all three verses of this hymn. It's page 549, and when you find your place, go ahead and stand with me as we sing to the Lord this morning, Like a River Glorious. Like a river glorious is God's perfect peace. Page 531. page 531, we'll sing Wonderful Peace. The Bible tells us that that we can have peace in Jesus Christ. He gives us a peace that passes all understanding, and we're going to sing about that peace this morning on page 531. We'll sing all four verses of this hymn, Wonderful Peace. Sing that song. Anybody? A couple hands. Well, we'll go ahead and sing on the third, but I want to read for you the second. We won't sing all four verses, but the Bible or this hymn writer says, "What a treasure I have in his wonderful peace, buried deep in the heart of my soul, so secure that no power can mine it away, while the years of eternity roll." And I want to say what a treasure it is to know the Lord and to have that peace. And I hope you have that peace this morning. We'll sing out on the third, "I am resting tonight in this wonderful peace."
I am resting tonight in this wonderful peace, resting sweetly in Jesus' control. For I've kept my danger my night and by day, and his glory is flooding my soul. Peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray.
Ann and I were first married. We worked in a little church in Malden, South Carolina, and the pastor sang one song as a solo, and if we ever went to another church, if there was a revival meeting or some sort of a conference, and if our pastor was there, the pastor of the church would say, "Oh, I see our brother's here. He's going to come and sing for us," and the pastor would turn and take a chair and set it next to the pulpit and sit down. And if you'd never been there to hear my pastor sing, you would have no idea. You'd think, well, is the man, you know, does he need a chair to sing out of? Well, he'd sing the first verse of that song, Wonderful Peace. And then he'd sing the third verse. But he would sit down and sing, "I am resting tonight in this wonderful peace." And then he'd stand up and sing the last. And so I can't hear that song without thinking about resting in this peace. You know, when we have peace, we can rest. Isn't that good to know? And I think this morning we're going to learn more about that peace. But no spoiler alerts. You didn't hear it from me. But I think it's coming. Some praise items this morning as we go to the Lord in prayer. Gigi got a good, clean report from the doctor, and we're grateful to hear that. I know that's a relief to her. Brenda Smith told me that her family is now over COVID, and so that's a praise item. We're thanking the Lord for that. We have a number of folks who are not with us today. Liane Munoz has a cold and she's at home. I understand David Kahn is also dealing with the same sort of thing. Jimmy Taylor has bronchitis, so he's not here today. And I know that there are others, so let's continue to pray. And many of you have said, and over the last couple of weeks or so, I have this thing, and it just hangs on. And so let's pray for one another that we get past these things. Tracy Cornwell is here, so maybe she's a little over the thing, or maybe it's let go a little bit. And so we're grateful to the Lord that she can be here today. Hannah has asked us to pray for Alex Iveson's, this is his boss, Rachel Pesci family. Rachel has passed away, and so we're praying for her family at this time. John O'Brien, our missionary to Ukraine, who we've talked so much about lately because of what he's doing with humanitarian efforts there, had actually come back to the States. He was in Alaska. He has a shoulder injury that needed surgery. He was scheduled to have it operated on tomorrow. But given everything that's happening in Ukraine and what looks like an advance in the assaults from Russia, he has actually returned to Ukraine. And so let's pray for his safety as he tries to help people there in that situation. Little baby Atlee Thomas needs our prayers. As you may remember, a premature, very, very tiny, dealing with some brain bleeds. And weight, I think, is probably one of the biggest concerns at this point. So we want to continue to pray for her. And for Sydney, who's dealing with blood pressure issues and some headache issues that are probably caused by that blood pressure. So let's ask the Lord to undertake there. Diane Hudler had an endoscopy yesterday. They're still trying to get a hold of exactly where all of this blood loss is coming from. And they found a couple of areas that they did something to that they thought would be helpful, although she's getting two more units of blood this morning. So let's continue to pray for Diane as she goes through this process. Oh, okay. Good. Yeah. All right. Pastor just said her blood, the last word he got was that she's not going to need those two blood units after all, and that the blood level is increasing. So that's a tremendous answer to prayer. I mentioned Jimmy being home with bronchitis. Cindy's sister-in-law passed away this week, and so we want to be in prayer for her family. Her brother recently lost his son as well, and so that family certainly needs our prayers. Swante and Linda aren't here. They're feeling better, but not still quite over things, and they didn't want to share. And honestly, with the temperature and everything else, they're probably just as well to be at home this morning. But Swante's son, Simeon, who some of you have met, Simeon has been here along with his wife. He had damaged his knee before. He'd had surgery on it. And this week, he slipped and fell on that knee and did more damage to it. And so he'll be having surgery this week. So please pray for Simeon as the Lord brings him to mind. Kate Christensen, our missionary wife, can't seem to shake the cold that she's had now for some time. Probably her immune system is down. You know, she's going through these chemo treatments. She'll have the next one on Wednesday of this week. So let's pray for her. Carol Holloway has an appointment tomorrow with an orthopedic doctor looking at the foot issue that she has. So let's pray for her. Sue Clark has hand surgery coming up. And so a number of needs, as you can tell. Plus, in your bulletin this morning, you have an entire list, two pages front and back, and the Lord knows every one of those needs. And it's our privilege to be able to intercede for one another, to take those petitions before the throne of grace where we've been invited to come. And the Lord says that he knows what we have need of even before we ask. But it's still right to ask and to reveal our own heart and our own concern for one another. So I hope that you're praying for one another. I hope that you'll remember to pray for one another and to use that list this week. Let's also pray for our missionaries around the world today, all of them having services just like this one in one place or another, and they certainly need our prayers as well. The world has become a more difficult place, as we all know, and so we want to make sure that we're praying for their needs too. Let's look to the Lord in prayer this morning as we ask his blessing on these needs and on our service. Father, we do thank you today for who you are, and we thank you that our trust and our confidence is in you. We're reminded every time we review this list of names and we hear these updates to these prayer needs that we are in fact a needy people. And Lord, we're glad this morning to know that you know our needs, you know our physical issues, you know our bodies. Your word tells us that you know our frame and you know how frail we are. And so Lord, today it is with gratitude that we come to you and express to you our trust and our confidence. And Lord, we would ask that you would undertake for each of these individuals. Thank you for the good news this morning from Diane. And Lord, our prayer is that this bleeding issue may be resolved completely now. and that there would be nothing to keep her from moving forward with this transplant. We're thankful for the good news from Gigi and from Brenda's family. Father, thank you for answered prayer there. We think of little baby Atlee in the hospital right now, and Lord, we just pray that you would have your hand of protection on that little tiny body and that you'd give her strength. We pray for Sydney as well. And Lord, we just pray that you would draw them close to yourself and show yourself great in this way. We have so many who are home today, some because of temporary illnesses like colds and respiratory issues, some who have been away from us for some time. And Lord, I just pray that you would encourage them even as they're not here. We pray that what they watch via live stream today or those who watch us later in the week would be an encouragement. We pray for Pastor as he preaches and as he reminds us of the great truths of your word today. Lord, may our hearts be stirred as we understand the peace that's available to us. We're thankful for what Christ did on the cross so that we might have peace with you. We're thankful for the peace that can pass all understanding. And Father, I pray that for each of us this morning, we might examine our own selves and see if there's something that's keeping us from that peace. And Lord, that before we would leave this place today, we would set that right with you. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Oh, magnify the
Jesus said in John 16:33, "These things I have spoken unto you, that ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulations, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." And you may have been listening to the prayer request, or you may be dealing with things in your life, or just looking at the world or watching the news and thinking, how can you have peace? How can anyone in this world have peace because of all the problems? I mean, look at what this world goes through. And I want to tell you today that you can have peace because Jesus has overcome all of that. He's conquered the grave. He's paid for our sins. And he will give you a peace that passes all understanding if you will trust in him. And I hope you will trust him today if you have not already. If you take your hymnals, turn with me to page 529. Page 529, we'll sing "It Is Well With My Soul," page 529, and we'll sing the first, second, and the last of this hymn. And when you find your place, go ahead and stand to your feet as we sing to the Lord, "It Is Well With My Soul."
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea,
Jacob, thank you, ladies, on the music. Two verses I want you to look at. If you turn to Isaiah 9:6 and also Hebrews chapter 12, we'll get started this morning. I thank all of you for being here today. We've got a lot of people that are nursing illness. Hopefully none of it is life-threatening or that serious, but COVID, strep throat, colds. Elena's home, so Soledad, of course, had to stay home with her. And Benjamin has strep throat, and he's allergic to penicillin. So I would appreciate you remembering that in prayer, that they can get him over. He had 103.7 temperature yesterday, so Rebecca took him to Riverview Clinic, and she's home with him this morning. So I teased him. He had just told me a day or two ago that he had six girls at school that like him. And I said, six girlfriends. My goodness. And so I sent a message to him last night and asked if one of those girls gave him strep throat or not, you know, with a kiss. And no, Papa, you know, he hadn't done that. So we're glad that we can pray and bring these needs and petitions to the Lord. And we're glad for each of you here today. Several visitors, thank you for coming. And I hope I can get to speak to you after the service. Brother Mark, he'll be flying in today from the Philippines. He's been gone two full weeks, hasn't he? And Catherine's here, and we will expect to see him soon and get a good report. Miss Rose had to make a quick trip down to Charleston to visit with family, and she'll be back hopefully by tonight. And we have a lot of folks that have those kind of things going on. Every week there's somebody working on Sunday. I think Howard Carr is working today, and probably others. And every week there's somebody probably sick. With a crowd this size, you expect that kind of thing to happen. But we're glad you're here, and we want to be faithful to pray for those that can't be here because of their circumstance. Isaiah 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Today we look at the Prince of Peace. If you want to turn there in Hebrews chapter 12, or just listen to me and I'll read those first two verses to you, in Hebrews 12 and verse 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand of the throne of God. In 2023, we're beginning a new year. We're already into February now. And so our course is set for the year. What we plan to do, what we hope to do, the expectations that we have, some changes that maybe we made beginning in the 1st of January. I looked at these scriptures, and I want us to keep our focus on the Lord Jesus Christ and on the course that he has laid out for us to follow. And if we keep our eyes on the Lord and recognize that the Christian life is a marathon of endurance to continue on the walk with God. And therefore, there's going to be times when the way is hard. There's going to be times when the way is difficult. There's going to be times where the way will be enjoyable and glorious. And we'll rejoice when we see people saved and when we see the results of our labors and when we see rewards that come from God. But along with that, there'll be trials and tests and difficulties. We're following the Lord. The Prince of Peace. The Hebrew word for prince is the word sar, S-A-R. It is from the root of sarar. It means to have dominion over. To be a prince meant to be a ruler or a captain or a chief, a master or lord over others. Jesus Christ is the ruler of peace. The word peace in the Hebrew language is shalom. You hear that today as a greeting to Jewish people, shalom. And it means peace, but it means a lot more than just the word peace. It means may you be well. May you have happiness. May you be prosperous. May you be in safety and peace. All of that is bound up in that one word called shalom or peace. And this is what God wants for you. This is what Christ came to give to you. This is what God hath provided for you, to have the peace of God and to be able to use it for His honor and glory. In Isaiah 32 and verse 17, I think I got this marked. I can turn to it quickly and read it. Isaiah 32, 17 and 18 says, "And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. And my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation and in sure dwellings and in quiet resting places." This is God's promise to the nation of Israel. This is when people walk with the Lord, what He provides for them. Righteousness and peace go together. Our peace comes from God, and righteousness comes from God. What do we have to do to receive it? The Bible says in Romans 5:1, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God." Justification is to be declared righteous in the sight of God. God requires righteousness, and He requires the righteousness of God for us to be able to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And that comes as a gift to us because of faith, believing all that God has taught us about Jesus Christ. In Isaiah 57 and verse 21, the Bible says, "To the wicked there is no peace." I'll read verse 19 through 21 of Isaiah 57. "I create the fruit of the lips, peace, peace to him that is far off, and to him that is near, saith the Lord, and I will heal him. But the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked." I am concerned always hearing about serious health issues for people, and I'm a lot more concerned when we find out they don't know the Lord as their Savior. Imagine all that you've gone through in your life if you didn't know the Lord Jesus Christ to rely upon and have God to pray to and ask for help. Imagine how hard it would be to go through all life's trials and troubles without having the comfort and the help of the hand of God. It would be a horrible thing. The Bible teaches us as Christians that we possess the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God produces through us His fruit. The fruit of the Spirit is found in Galatians 5:22. It is love, joy, peace. There's that word peace again. Long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. If we have those characteristics when we're facing troublous times, it's because the Spirit of God lives within us and can produce through us that tranquility to deal with hardness and troubles and trials and problems, knowing that our God is on the throne and is ultimately in charge. And we can pray to Him and ask for His help and for His, I want to say inventory, that's not the word I'm looking for. I want to invite Him to come into my heart and to help me. Now I ask you this morning, do you have peace? Or do you have turmoil? I pray for the O'Briens. John is going back into the war zone to help there, and there is great turmoil there. Those people are under outnumbered forces. They are under trying to stay in destructed buildings. They're trying to keep the Russians from coming in and taking over more areas and destroying more. And Brother John is very concerned about the church he built in Krakow, and that area may come under this serious invasion this time. And they've been feeding about 40 people living in that church building, as well as all the rest of the work that they've been doing. They are in turmoil there. But even in the midst of that, God can give peace. I ask you, are you at peace with God? Are you at peace with man? You can be in favor with both when you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior. In favor with God and in favor with man. Is the Holy Spirit producing His fruit through you that you demonstrate the peace of God? He grants you peace that passes all understanding. In the little book of Philippians, Paul wrote as a prison epistle. He was a prisoner and wrote these prison epistles. in chapter 4 of Philippians and verse 6, be careful for nothing. And that means don't be anxious about anything. Don't worry over anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. When we yield ourselves to Him, there are things that help us to stay on track, stay on focus. He said in verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. We think about a lot of things. We hear a lot of news. We hear a lot of circumstances and situations. But if we'll think on these things instead of thinking on those things, we will get through life a lot happier than we will be with all the troubles and trials and problems of life. God wants us to have peace. But there's somebody, secondly, who does not want us to have peace, and that is Satan. Satan is called the prince of the power of the air. He's the ruler with a kingdom. And the kingdom is found in Galatians 1 and verse number 4, where the Bible says that Christ came and died for us to deliver us from this present evil world. The present evil world that Satan is over. He is called in 2 Corinthians the God of this world. And as the God of this world, or ruler of this world, he blinds men's minds lest they should see the glorious light of the gospel of Christ and be saved. Satan doesn't want you to have peace with God. He wants you to be stirred up all the time. He wants to get you in the flesh so your anger will boil, so that you'll say things you shouldn't say and think things you shouldn't think and do things you shouldn't do. He wants you to turn to other things for the help of peace than turn to God. Satan is the unholy spirit that works in all the unsaved of the world. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 2 through 5. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation or lifestyle in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us, or made us alive together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. So Satan is a spirit that works in unbelievers. He works to keep them in his kingdom rather than coming into the kingdom of Christ. When you get saved, the Bible says you're translated out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of light. And now you know the Lord. Now you're in God's family. Now you're brothers and sisters in the church family. And we can have the peace of God because of the work that God has done. Jesus is the Prince of Peace, and Jesus is peace. But the unbelievers are violent and wicked and evil. In Isaiah 59 and verse 8, it says, the way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. Who's he talking about? In chapter 59, he said, those that are none who calleth for justice, nor pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. They hatch cockatrice eggs and weave spiders' webs. He that eateth of their eggs dieth, and that which is crushed breaketh out into a viper. So this is the production of the wicked and the evil in the sight of God. Their works of evil and iniquity. And Christ died to pay for their sins so they could be saved and delivered from that lifestyle. But unless they're saved, there'll be no peace for them. They will not know peace. Violence and iniquity are their works. Thirdly, we need the Prince of Peace in order to grant us peace with God. I quoted Romans 5:1 a few moments ago. In chapter 5, verse 1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So peace with God comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. The peace and righteousness by knowing Christ as our Savior. James 4:4 says, friendship of the world is enmity with God. So you are an enemy of God if you love this present world that Satan is over. The result of enmity is hate. Romans 8:7 says the carnal mind is at enmity against God. The mind that does not know the Lord, does not have the Spirit of God, is at war with God, is an enemy of God. But Christ becoming our Savior, we're no longer enemies of God. He signed a peace treaty with us. He saved us, and we now are at peace with God. We have peace that comes from God. And this peace comes because of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Ephesians 2, verse 11, wherefore remember that ye being in time past, Gentiles in the flesh, called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision in the flesh made of hands. The Jews called the Gentiles just uncircumcised. And the Bible says now through Christ, you are circumcised in your heart because of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 12 says, at time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one and broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make himself of twain one man, so making peace. And he that might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Peace. Removing the enmity that comes by knowing Jesus Christ, we have peace with God. Secondly, as believers, we are granted peace from God. Paul wrote to the churches in each one of these New Testament epistles. He started the books like I'll read Romans 1 and verse 7. His greetings to the churches as he began to write to each church. And he repeats this same phrase basically over and over and over again. In Romans 1, 7, he says, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now he repeats that in 1 and 2 Corinthians. And in Galatians and Ephesians and Philippians, that greeting of peace, peace to us from God. Isaiah said righteousness and peace go together. And that grants us assurance. To know the Lord and to have the peace of God, we have assurance that we belong to Him and we are protected by Him. We are kept not by our works, not by our goodness, but by the power of God, Peter said in chapter number 1. In 1 John, we have protection and faith gives us everything that we need because of our relationship to the Lord. In 1 John 5, in verse 9 through 14, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God which he testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believed not the record that God gave us his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Now, sometimes believers lack assurance. They have fears and doubts. They can tell you, yeah, there was a definite time when I know I realized I was unsaved, and somebody explained the gospel to me, and I prayed and asked the Lord to save me. But, you know, I really haven't grown as a Christian, and I hadn't been as faithful in church as I should be, and I've got some doubts and fears now. When I read certain passages in the Bible, I feel like it's talking to me that I'm without hope, and I'm maybe on my way to hell, and I need help from God. Well, my friend, God has given you that help, and it's a matter of his word. You may not feel saved, but if you are saved, you've got to trust the word of God and what it says about how to be saved. Some believers have fears and doubts. One fellow wrote this about it, and I thought it was good. A race car driver asked his friend to go for a ride in his race car. The friend was afraid, but he goes. The car offers certain security to both. It has a roll bar. It has harness straps. So for both, there is security, the driver and the friend. Now, the friend trembles at the speed they're traveling. And he trembles when they go into the curves and the car goes up into an angle to go into the curves. The driver is completely calm. Understanding from experience, he enjoyed the ride in assurance. The friend lacked assurance, but he had the same security as the driver who drove the car. We have the same security as those who are right with God, who walk with God, who we look at as the ideal person to be an example to us. You got the same God and the same security that person has. It's just a matter of trusting and believing and put it into practice in your life. Believers sometimes fear and sometimes lack assurance, and they don't realize that their assurance is based on God's word, and remembering that you're saved keeps you in the power through faith, ready to be revealed in the last day. The unbeliever needs to make peace with God by repenting of his sin and believing on Jesus Christ, receiving him into his life. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He is our Savior. By this, God makes you acceptable in the family of God, grants you justification of righteousness. Peace from God is a gift with assurance that we are saved, that we're kept by his power. And the works of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. And my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation and in sure dwellings and in quiet resting places. You're lying awake worrying at night over something, go to sleep and quit worrying. God's on the throne and he's wide awake. He's looking over you and taking care of you. Next, we have peace of God. Philippians 4 talks about the peace that passeth all understanding, that through it our hearts and minds are kept. In Vietnam, the Marines and the Army went on patrols. Those patrols were called search and destroy missions during the time that I was there. I think they later gave them a different name to keep them from sounding quite so bad, you know, search and destroy. And we were after the enemy to find them and destroy them. We would walk all day through the jungle, find a place, set up a perimeter, a big circle, dig fighting holes in the ground, and within those, the guys could lay down and get some sleep. A patrol would go out to go all the way around the area in wide loop to make sure the enemy was not creeping in on us in any way. And guards were in those fighting holes for 4 hours at a time. And each one of those guards had a claymore mine sitting out in front of him and several hand grenades laying on the side and a rifle with at least 7 magazines loaded with 20 rounds of ammunition. I happened to carry 20 myself, and most of the guys carried more than 7. But 7 was what we were issued. They had at least that many. And then the ammunition to fill them up, that's 400 rounds. And I would carry an extra 1,000 rounds of ammunition because I always had the fear I'd run out of ammunition sometime. I thought I could carry more weight and have peace of mind. Well, the people could lay down and sleep in there. How could you sleep in the middle of a war zone after you just had a skirmish with the enemy and guys have been killed and guys have been wounded and medevaced out and all that? And then how are you going to lay down and sleep the next night? Because you had all that security that was taking care of you. You could lay down and sleep. We are the recipients of God's peace and protection and security. We don't have to lie awake at night in fear or worry. God is watching over us. His angels have been given charge over us to protect us and to care for us who are the heirs of salvation. And so we can face the world with the peace of God. You say, we don't know what's going to happen. Is there going to be world war with Russia? We don't know this. We don't know. Don't worry about it. God knows exactly what's taking place, and He's on the throne. You can lift your heart to God, and He can give you peace. The Old Testament book of Leviticus, chapter 3, verse 1 through 17, deals with the peace offering. The peace offering was different than all the other sacrifices. The peace offering was the believer brought his offering unto the priest, and the priest separated the body of the animal. It was the only offering where a believer shares in a communal meal. After the offering was made to God, they took of the offering meat that was shared by the priest along with the believer who brought the offering. And the fat was burned on the altar to God. So in a very real way, the sinner who brought his offering and the priest who made the offering and God together shared in the sacrifice. It was the only sacrifice where a female animal could be allowed to be used as the sacrifice. And the animal did not have to be without spot and blemish like all the other sacrifices that were for sin offerings. This was a peace offering. And God and man ate together. And God gave peace to the one who brought his sacrifice to God and made his offering. Now we who have made peace with God by faith in Christ and have received the peace from God as a result of our salvation are now in fellowship with God, walking with God, receiving his peace. Isaiah 26:3 said, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." When a believer is at peace with God, he has the power of God. He can be at peace with man. When your vertical peace is right between you and God, the horizontal peace between you and fellow man can be good. Remember, Jesus said there'll be wars and rumors of wars until the end of time. But until that day comes when perfect peace is granted by the Lord Jesus Christ, after he's judged the men who are wicked and evil in the tribulation at the Battle of Armageddon, then he'll set up his kingdom and it will be a kingdom of peace. The lion and the lamb will lie down together, and we'll be at peace with others. The United Nations has on their building Isaiah chapter 2 and verse number 4. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. They think that is their desire to make peace between men. Jesus said it'll never happen till I come. I'm the one that'll bring that kind of peace. And Jesus gives you peace now by knowing Him as your Lord and Savior. Thank you for being here today. Father, we bow our heads before you and we relish the peace that you have given. We pray you would grant us when times of worry and stress and trouble and trial to look to you and believe you and trust you for peace that passes understanding. If there's someone here today that doesn't have that peace, help them seek us out to help them with the Word of God, to show them how to be saved and know the peace that you are willing to grant them. Bless your people with peace, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.